From deep inside the Desta, I'm Andrew Richards, and welcome to Defrag Tools. I'm solo this week. Chad's busy doing some work. So we're just going to continue on with the debugging extension series. We're going to go over a very simple intrinsic today, which is just how to read memory and the foibles to do with that. We're going to jump back to the project we've been using for the last couple of weeks. Last week we went through how to go from a name to an offset, and particularly the point of the episode was to talk about sign extension and how when you're in that range between 2 gigabytes and 4 gigabytes in the 32-bit address space, you need to sign extend, which means that top bit has to be repeated, and you need to sign extend it and before you ask for the call, which involves, if it's in that range, as I said, padding 111, which is hexadecimal FFF, onto the front of the number. So far we've read from registers, and we've got we've turned an address into a symbol, and a symbol into an address. Now we want to do something with these key pieces of information, this locality information. And so the big thing that you do is you read virtual memory. Virtual memory, the read virtual call just takes an address. Once again, we sign extend it to make sure that it's appropriate, and then we read it into a buffer. You know, allocate a piece of memory, say how big it is, and then you retrieve how many bytes were read. Now, because of mini dumps versus full dumps and stuff like that, data can be missing inside the page. And so even though you may be reading the right amount, particularly when it comes to, you might be reading a structure, which is, you know, well-defined, space of RAM, and so you would pass in a buffer of like maybe a context or something, or a foo, and then you'd pass in a size of foo as the size, and then hopefully it should come out as byte read should equal size of foo. But it may not, because if the page was split over, or if the memory was split over pages, the next page may be missing in the dump file, and you may get a torn read. And so you do need to be careful about reading the output size, particularly if you want to make sure that you're capable of debugging mini dumps. You know, when you're live debugging, this is fine, it's completely irrelevant because everything's available, but when it comes to dump processing, be wary of that. When it comes to reading data, this is how mainly you do it. There is ability to read a Unicode string as well. That's a slightly separate thing. What I am going to point out though is when you read a pointer. So you're in this continual fight in the debugger to make sure that you're doing things in the right architecture, the right bitness. And particularly when you're in a 32-bit debugger, debugging a 64-bit process, when you say, I want to read a pointer, you can't just go size of void star or size of some type of pointer type, because that would return 32-bit. It's your native size rather than the size of the target. Now you can use this function up here to work out the pointer size, whether it's 64-bit or 32-bit, which is the only two that's supported. But the debugger can do that on the behalf of you. So instead of having to allocate the right amount of memory and read 64 or 32 bits, you can just ask the debugger to do that for you. And read pointers virtuals is what that's all about. So read pointers virtual allows you to read an array of things. So particularly this is really useful when you have an array of pointers that then point off to subsequent structures. And that's why we have a count ability. So you say, you know, give me 5 pointers. And then we, as always, we make sure that when we pass in an address, we sign extend it. And then we get an array of pointers back. Now, obviously this is, you just pass a count of 1 and an array of, which is only 1 in depth, if you want to only read 1. And so you would, you know, have something like ulong 64. And you'll find that this becomes second nature. That's, you just allocate everything as ulong 64 pointers. And if you only wanted to read 1, you'd allocate as 1. And then you would call this helper function that we've written, this, which does the query interface to do the job and to get to iData spaces. You would just pass in the iDebug client that you have, and then pass in, I only want 1, offset, wherever the offset is, and then in this case, you would pass in the pointers array, and after that executes, you would have it back. Unlike the read virtual, you don't know whether the read was successful or not, as far as size goes. It's just something you have to be wary of. One thing that you do tend to do with logic is you get something back, and so you might go pointers zero. And a lot of people will just say it's greater than zero because, you know, if I've read something that's valid, you know, it's going to be greater than zero. What you can do is take that a little bit further, and we can change this to 64K. Now, why is that important? So we've talked about this way back in the VM map episodes. Windows does not allocate memory in the bottom 64K as a device to stop access violations. And so if you get a null pointer back from a class and then reference a member, well, that member may be, you know, 254 bytes offset. So 0 plus 254 is still below 64K, and it's going to cause an access violation straight away rather than into some random allocation. And that's why you should never do doesn't equal null, because that doesn't really help you either. What you can do, I mean, doesn't equal null is the worst way, greater than zero is slightly better, but the way you really should do it is to do it 64K. And so I'm just going to bring out calculator, because my hex isn't great, go into scientific mode. Oops, so into program mode, sorry. And then I'm gonna go 64 times 1024, and then do that in hex, and so it's 10,000 in hex. And so what you can say is, if it's greater than or equal to 64K, then you should treat it as a valid pointer. And just to clarify, to reinforce that, let's just do a VM map or something. We'll choose, Explorer itself. And you'll see down the bottom here, sorting by address, that there's nothing below nothing below that 10K line. The memory manager just doesn't allocate stuff all the way down there. So that's how you read data. Data spaces is your space for this. So once you've got data, you can print it out to the screen and do traversal and all that type of stuff. One of the things that sometimes you can't do is just control the debugger environment itself. And what we're going to move on to next is execution. So sometimes you need to just ask the debugger to run a command that normally would be done by the command line. And a good example of this is core.coredll. So .coredll is the function that will load MS Core DACWorks, which is the DLL underneath the ability for SOS and CLRMD to investigate a .NET dump. Now, there's no native function that you can call in the iDebug interfaces to achieve a .coredll. So sometimes you just need to execute it on the command line. And so what I've got is two little functions in this new execute thing. This is going to be next week, talking about how to execute data. So roughly, I'm going to pass it a command on the command line, and I'm going to ask the engine to execute it on my behalf. And there's two ways of kind of thinking of this, is ignore and all clients. Ignore means I want to execute it, but I don't want the output to go on the screen. And all clients says I want to execute it, and I want all clients to see it. Well, yeah, and this brings up the concept of clients. You can have more than one client in a debug session. So it's like having multiple WinDBG command windows. The command windows individually can have data ported into them and poured into them via the output callbacks. And that's what we're going to do this echo stuff later. But for now, I'm just going to show you how you can execute another command, because if you want to do something like just make sure that symbols are resolved, you can just go, you know, .reload/F on the command line and just force a symbol load before you go and then do maybe symbol resolution, or you might resolve a particular module before you go do that, just to make sure that it's in its best state possible. So these things are just standard callbacks. We have them defined in the definition file, these two here. These will be next week. And then what they do is they call through to some helper functions we've got in our library. So here's our execute all clients. So as I said, there's two variants. There's all and there is ignore. Let me just get this scroll just right so we can see both of them at the same time. The top one is all clients, and you can see that we're passing this keyword, and then there's also ignore. So This functionality is given to you by iDebug Control. We query interface for it. And then there's execute. There's also execute wide. So if you happen to have a command that is a Unicode, you can use iDebug Control 4, I think it is, and execute a wide command. So if you want to change your whole infrastructure to be more Unicode compliant and compatible, use the wide edition. You're always going to get the command though given to you as ANSI. So in this case, or multibyte. In this case, well, I'm just going to pass it through to the same bitness of character. When you do execute, there's this flag on the front. And so all clients means this client. So this client was given to you, and we got the control version of that client. And then that's the client that you've been given, but there may be other clients. And all clients says, put the output of this command that I'm about to execute on this client, but also all other clients. And if we look at the definition of this, you'll also see that there is this client. So you can say, I only want it on this client. I want it on all clients, including myself. I want it on all other clients. And then you can say, I want to ignore it. And then the other ones are a bit more rarer, but you can say, I only want it to put it to the log file. So in the log file case, if someone's done a .log open and then is putting the output to the file, when you execute this command, it will go out to the file and never to the screen. And these are kind of all self-explanatory. This is only this one. And so the pointer that you get given, I think, is not the WinDBG client, which means this client won't work. You need to use all clients. So when you do this one, it's going to come to the screen because you've said all clients. The flag on the end, which is a mask, no repeat, is to stop the enter keyword. So if you execute a command, by default, if you press enter and no other key on the command window, it will repeat the last command. And your debugger extension is kind of meant to know that it was run last and maybe make an appropriate forward progress. And a good example of that is when you do things like DP or DA or something like that, it will show you an address. We can actually do that. Let's run one, and I'll show you what that repeat means. If I do like DPS, the current instruction pointer, oops, 32-bit, and then take off that end bit, it will show you the next page down. And then now if I press enter, it will repeat that DPS command, and it's still just scrolling down through the memory. So if I can now press enter, 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 the no execute, no repeat keyword turns that ability off on this command. So it's a good way of, particularly when you're doing ignore, is to hide the command that you've been running in the background from your debugger extension, because you don't want the person to really be repeating that statement. So all clients is, out to all the clients, and particularly when we get to callbacks and output a bit more, we'll go into that more detail. And then ignore is a very private way of doing it. And so it's very common that when you use ignore, yet you turn the logging off to the log file off, and you also turn off the repeat. So let's see these in action. Do the CLS. So we've got execute all clients, and we'll just do like LM. And as expected, it goes out to the screen. But if we go ignore, which is nowhere, and type this, it doesn't go out to the screen. All right. But if we had a log file open, you would see it for the all clients as well, and you wouldn't see it for the ignore. So that's kind of a quick run through execution and also reading virtual memory. What we're going to do next week is take that a little bit further, because a lot of times you execute the command so you yourself can read it off the screen. And so there's this concept of output callbacks where you take control of the output buffer, you read the data that comes off the screen, and then you can make judgments based on that through screen scraping. Then what goes into that further is all the different formats that you want to scrape the screen. You can scrape it in ANSI, you can scrape it in Unicode or WIDE, if you want to call it that, and you can also scrape it in DML, which will lead on to the very next episode, which is how to do DML correctly. So that's it for this week. As always, put your questions and comments in the show notes. If you have any questions directly, email us at defragtools@microsoft.com, and we will see you next week.